Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting us this morning, I hope you enjoy your time with us, and please join us for tea and coffee through in the hall after the service. It's the Girls Brigade that are doing their soup and cake today. We meet for prayers in the church on a Tuesday and Thursday at 9:15 a.m. during the month of June, and then there'll be no meetings during July, but we can still pray at home. And this week we'll pray for our members in Lark Hall, so please join us if you're able. The book group meet tonight, and the book that they're reading is Mice and Men by John Steinbeck. The Paterson Church Coffee Morning started on the 4th of June, I forgot to change that. I'm still in holiday mode, I'm not waking up yet. So the Paterson Church Coffee Morning is on every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. We've got a pastoral care visit to Candorehaven on the 24th of June at 2 p.m, so please join us if you can. The next Skilled Craft Night is also on the 24th of June at 7:30 in the hall. And Hope Cafe are on Thursday the 27th of June, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then in the evening we've got Hope Cafe 2 at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And you're welcome to go along to any of these meetings. The invitations have been given out for the Guild Afternoon Tea. Now, there's been a wee bit of a kerfuffle with the invitations, so if anybody has not received an invitation and they would like to go, if you could speak to me after the service, please. The Guild Committee meet in the hall after the service this morning, please, just to organise what we're doing tomorrow. Sadly, Morag McLean passed away. There wasn't a funeral service. Stuart didn't have anything to do with that, but Morag's brother phoned to see if we could have a memorial service here at St Ninian's on Saturday the 29th of June at 3 p.m. in the church. You remember Morag, she used to sing in the choir. She stayed in Brodie Place. The Holiday Club are on Monday the 5th, Wednesday the 7th and Friday the 9th of August, and they're looking for volunteers to help. Doesn't matter what age you are, what sex you are, you'll be very welcome. So if you could speak to the women, May Fairley probably would be the best one to speak to, if you're able to help with that. It's good fun. If you know of anyone who's ill or in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could let Anne know and we'll send flowers or we'll visit. And just a wee update on Danny Haney, he got home on Friday. So he's on the mend, but it'll take time. And Jimmy's a good bit better as well, Jimmy Anderson. So, Yvonne, over to you.
Thank you.
Welcome. We'd like to hear what you're going to say this morning.
Thank you, Margaret. Good morning. Come to God. Come to the Father. Come to the Son. Come to the Holy Spirit. Come, one and all. Together as companions, together as God's beloved, together in worship. Come and worship a God who is always with us, a God who will never leave us, a God who is constant in our lives. Let us come into worship together as one. Let's take a moment of silence as we light our candle this morning, conscious of God's presence among us. Our first hymn this morning is God of Creation. And although you might not recognise the words, it's sung to the tune of Morning Has Broken. The timing is a wee bit iffy on some of the verses, on the third line of some of the verses. Really, it's verse 3 and 4. So what I'm going to do this morning is, we'll all sing verses 1 and 2 together. The choir will sing verse 3, and then we'll come in and sing verse 4, beautifully led by the choir. Okay? So let's stand, all who are able, and sing God of Creation.
Thank you.
let us pray. Great God, thank you for the constant call we hear from you every day. The wind whispering around our ears, the birds singing to us from the trees, rain pinging in the window, the good earth inviting our steps. We hear that call again and again through kind hands and warm hearts around us. Open our ears to your call, which is as expansive as the world and as particular as a poor man walking a dusty road to a cross on Calvary. Like him, help us to love, not just in word, but in deed. Love for our neighbours who are hard to love. Love for newcomers in our community. Love for people who are cast out by others. Forgive us for the times we have failed to share your love, choosing to hoard what is given freely, fearful that we have limited resources, limited time, or we're too tired. Thank you that even then your consoling voice calls us. Help us to respond with your cheerful hearts as we do your work. Strengthen those among us who face heavy burdens, who live with pain, physical, emotional, spiritual. Holy Spirit, bind us together as a community to sing your chorus of love faithfully and heartily. Multiply your call in us and through us. In the name of Jesus we pray, who taught us to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 16, reading from verses 12 to 15.
As Yvonne has said, the reading this morning is from the New Testament, John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to tell you, but now it would not be too much for you to bear. When, however, the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you of things to come. He will give me glory because he will take what I say and tell it to you. All that my Father has in mind, that is why I said that the Spirit will take what I give to him and tell it to you. Amen.
Thanks, Hugh. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Are we up? May's awake. Yeah. Is everybody else awake or no?
Yeah.
No. Right, now, so, is today your last day at Sunday school?
Yes.
Which must mean then that it's nearly the summer holidays?
Yes.
In fact, I think there's only 10 days left of school altogether, is there? Is that exciting?
Yeah.
Is it exciting for the kids? Is it exciting for the mums and the dads?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced, Fiona. Okay, are you having a party today?
Yeah.
Very good. Are you excited about that? Mm-hmm. So, a party today. Last week you had Lego. Mm-hmm. So, while you were through making Lego, we were learning about something called the Holy Spirit. Okay? And in our reading today, we heard about the Holy Spirit again, didn't we? Mm-hmm. In the reading, Jesus knew it was soon going to be time for him to leave earth and go back to heaven. So he got all his disciples together, and they were quite worried because what were they going to do without Jesus there to guide them and to help them? But Jesus said that once he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be his guide. That sounds good, doesn't it? Did you know that when we decide to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our life too? Mm-hmm. Who's seen the Holy Spirit? Have you seen the Holy Spirit? Have you, Mira?
No.
Have you seen the Holy Spirit? No? Nobody's seen the Holy Spirit? Guess what? You can't see the Holy Spirit. So how do you know that the Holy Spirit's there? I need two volunteers. Hands up. Don't be scared. Honestly, who wants to volunteer? Cameron? Alexander? Oh, I must be feeling brave this morning. Right, wait a wee minute. You stay there. What's this? It's ages since I've flown a kite. And I thought, this morning, church sounds quite high. I think we could fly it in here. So, who is going to have a go? You're the tallest. Right, you have a go first, Cameron. Can you fly that kite for me? Thank you. Right, off you go.
But there's no wind.
There's no wind? Do I need wind for it? You try. Try. Maybe. Have you got wind? Right, on you go.
I've never flew a kite.
You've never flew a kite? Oh, no. Right, but you did mention something about wind. Right, where will I find some wind?
Outside.
Right, okay. Right, Alexander. Here you go. Right, you go and collect some wind for me, will you? Wait. Do you think you'll be able to collect wind in there?
I can do that.
You can do that, but would that be enough to make this kite go? No, I don't think so, look. There's nothing. Now you can hold the kite if you want from me. The thing is, you can't see wind, can't you not? We can feel wind, can't we? Because if I was to go, did you feel that on your face? Uh-huh. And you can hear wind, like sometimes outside if it's really, really windy and things get blown over, you can hear that, can't you? And what else can we do with wind? We can see with wind. Well, we can see what wind's doing, because like that outside, if the trees were blowing and the leaves were blowing, we could see that. But the wind, we can't see. And that's just like the Holy Spirit, because we can see the Holy Spirit working through other people's actions, okay? And we can hear him speak to our hearts, and we can feel his presence in our lives, but we can't see him. So, the next time you see a kite flying in the sky, guided by the wind, remember, the Holy Spirit is always in our lives, helping us and guiding us. Okay? Now, just before you go through to enjoy your party, you could take this actually with you, and maybe if you get a wee chance to go outside, you could fly it.
Okay.
Do you want to take that? You'll not need the bag because there'll be wind outside, won't there? So you'll not need the bag. But just before you go through to your party, we're going to sing again. But because this is your last week, can we sing up nice and loud? Do you think you can do that for me? So the next hymn is Mission Praise 54, and it's Bind Us Together. So sing up nice and loud for me, okay? No, you may. Right, okay. Today is Father's Day. So did all the men get breakfast in bed? No? Is that... No. I was really kind to Graham because, see, instead of relaxing and having some peace and quiet while I was at church, I brought him along with me this morning to do the PowerPoint, which means he gets even more time to spend with me today. So I thought, that's really good. I was really kind. Maybe I dragged him along, I'm not sure, but anyway. It's not just Father's Day. Today is another special day. Today is Trinity Sunday. And in the life of the church, we have special Sundays. These special Sundays are intended to remember specific historical events in the life of the church. Easter Sunday, which remembers the resurrection of Jesus, or Pentecost Sunday, which we had last week, which is there to remind us about when the Holy Spirit came and lived within the first Christians. But today is the only Sunday in the year which is dedicated to a doctrine, the doctrine of Trinity. Today is also a day that apparently many ministers dread when it comes to thinking about what to preach. And where's Stuart? Off running a 10K. Well, he's probably finished the 10K by now. Now, that's either a coincidence or very clever planning on his part. I'll leave you to decide on that. It's also worth mentioning that we normally follow Spill the Beans lectionary. But I thought it would be too difficult because the readings were all based on Paul's journeys. So I opted for the Revised Common Lectionary and I instantly regretted it. I've read pages and pages worth of commentaries and I have listened to hours and hours of podcasts about the Trinity in preparation for this morning. And guess what? I'm still struggling with it. You see, the Trinity is one of those doctrines that Christians worldwide affirm but have great difficulty explaining. The idea of one God in three persons, three in one, is a concept we have difficulty getting our heads around. Now, I could have omitted to tell you it was Trinity Sunday. Maybe only a few people would have known and would have picked up on that, which would probably have made things easier for me. However, I think that the Trinity is one of the most fascinating aspects of Christian theology. But I also know it can be very controversial. It's a mystery to us because it's a reality that's above our human ability to understand things. We can begin to grasp it on our own, but we must really discover it through worship, symbol, and faith. The word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, but the concept does. And the abstract of direct teaching from the Bible on the Trinity makes it hard to find a passage of Scripture to craft a sermon. The passage we read today has hints of Trinitarian relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And perhaps that's why it was chosen and not much else. So today, the Feast of the Holy Trinity is a day that many understand as being devoted to and focused on a doctrine. And while there is some truth in that understanding, I believe it's only a small part of what today is about. And that's why I told you that it was Trinity Sunday today. We live Trinitarian lives. We live, move, and have our being in the Blessed Trinity. We pray to the Holy Trinity, offering ourselves, joys and sorrows, concerns, thanksgivings, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And at communion, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit sanctify our offerings of bread and wine, that they might become the food and drink of eternal life. During funeral services, we're reminded that we entrust those who have died to the care of the Holy Trinity. we are Trinitarian people. From beginning to end and everything in between, our creation, birth, life and death are constituted, sustained and filled by the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. So to see today is nothing more than a concept of numbers in which 1 equals 3 and 3 equals 1. It's like saying a wedding anniversary is simply remembrance and celebration of the concept of love. Concepts, whether of love or the Holy Trinity, rarely, if ever, sustain or transform our lives. Instead, our lives are sustained and transformed by relationships and experiences. One of the most radical revelations of Jesus is that God is in himself community, that we are made in God's image and likeness, and that in Christ we are to become like God. God is three persons, a community of persons that exists in love. That's the inner nature of God. That's the life of heaven. And that's what we are called to live here on earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Firstly, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image." We are called into existence to be in and live in relational existence. We discover ourselves, we find the meaning of life, and we know who we are when we see and understand ourselves in the eyes of those who know us, those who love us, and those who relate to us. When we live in communion with others, we become more than just ourselves. Who we are expanded, broadened, and deepened. Verse 27 goes on to say, "He created them, male and female." God created us in community with the ability to expand it. And I believe a large part of being created in the image of God is being created in community, as God himself is in community. So if the God we worship lives in community, then surely we must realise that relationships are a huge part of our faith. As God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit relate to one another and they demonstrate love for each other, we get the idea of community. God always exists as a Trinity. And he always acts as a Trinity. The Son did not leave the Trinity to come to earth, and the Spirit did not leave the Trinity to live within us. We cannot be a solitary Christian. We're not meant to be individuals in the image of an individual God. We're meant to be groups, families, communities, in the image of a God who is a group, a family, a community. We find ourselves through our close relationships with others. Loving others isn't just something that's nice. It's essential. It's only in love and deep relationships that we can begin to understand what John's Gospel is talking about when he says, "God is love, and he who loves has found God, and God lives in him." It's in loving others deeply and closely that we can begin to feel the wonder of life and the joy of knowing who God is and what his life is like. In today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks of the Father and the Spirit and the relationship the three of them share. It's not a lecture about the Trinity, and he doesn't describe what they are, but rather how they are. According to Jesus, this is how they are. They are in complete relationship. All they have is given, received, and shared. Nothing is withheld. Nothing is a secret. All that the Father has is in Jesus. And all that Jesus has is taken by the Spirit and declared to us. I have much more to tell you, but now it would be too much for you to bear. When, however, the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you of things to come. He will give me glory because he will take what I say and tell it to you. All that my Father has is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take you, will take what I give him and tell it to you. The idea of the relationship between the Father, Son, and Spirit has been depicted by many Christian scholars using the term perichoresis. That's a Greek word, by the way. And it literally means dancing around. I think that paints a beautiful image of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, in a divine dance, interacting with one another, expressing love for one another, and complementing the work each has to do. In fact, Father Richard Rohr has written a book entitled just that, The Divine Dance, all about the Trinity. It's a really good book, and I'm only about a third of the way through. Maybe if I'd finished reading it, today's sermon might have made a wee bit more sense to me. But we're not just called to dance with the Trinity. We're called to dance with his people and to dance with his creation. We need to work out the rhythm, figure out how not to step in each other's feet, and practice grace and forgiveness when others step in ours. The Trinitarian life begins with the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it's not just limited to the three. It's an ongoing dance of God's being and existence. All are invited to join the dance. No one is denied an invitation, and in God's world, everyone knows how to dance. Two left feet don't exist. This dance of God's life and love is not abstract. It's embodied and revealed through flesh and blood dancers that can touch and heal with God's hands, see with God's eyes, listen with God's ears, speak God's truth, and love with God's heart. The Trinitarian life is embodied and revealed through us. The Spirit takes us by the hand and leads us into the dance, and he introduces us to the Trinity. This is the Father. He's been waiting for you to join the dance since the beginning of time. This is the Son. He paid your ticket into the dance with his life, and his life will teach you how to dance. And for the rest of eternity, the Spirit keeps us in the dance, reminding us that we are children of God, and he loves to dance with us. Wherever we are, whoever we are with, there is God's dance floor. In our families, marriages, close relationships, friendships, in places of reconciliation and healing, in workplaces, at school, at the supermarket, in our silence and solitude, in our recreation, in our joys and our sorrows, and in our concerns and our thanksgivings. In every one of those places, there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, asking, with one voice, may I have this dance. Amen. Let's take a few moments to reflect on what's just been said while we watch and listen to a short video. Again, the hymn is 404, I Danced in the Morning. We make our offerings, small and large, with the hope and confidence that all we do, all we offer, all we say, all we think, and all we hope will take root in this world and be the source of new expressions of God's love, of God's justice, of God's character, of God's mission, and of God's reign. Our offering will now be uplifted. Of life and life anew. We bring our offerings, our symbols of faith and our hearts to you this day. We seek your renewing spirit so that we can make new beginnings with openness and trust. Help us to be open to new ways of seeing, the new avenues of acting, to a renewal of our relationships so that we can join you in making all things new. May every gift be gratefully received as a symbol of the many ways our life energy helps sustain this congregation and spread its vision and its values far beyond these four walls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll remain standing for our next hymn, hymn 562, Through the Love of God our Saviour.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you know the joy of fatherhood and also the pain, for you witnessed the life and death of your Son, and you see each day the triumphs and tragedies of us, your children. Lord God, our Father, reach out in love. In Jesus, you experienced the delight of being a father as you watched him grow and mature into adulthood, as you saw him baptized in the Jordan, as day by day he responded to your guidance, faithful to the very last, a beloved son with whom you were well pleased. Yet also you experienced agony in the horror of the cross, the pain, the humiliation, and the sorrow he endured for our sakes. Lord God, our Father, reach out in love. In each of us, you find pleasure when we pursue what is good, when we honour your commandments, when we seek your will and respond to your guidance. But we cause you also so much pain through our weakness, our repeated disobedience, our deafness to your call, and our rejection of your love. Lord God, our Father, reach out in love. Gracious God, you know the joy and the pain of fatherhood, and so now we pray for fathers everywhere. Help them to appreciate both the privilege and the responsibility they bear, and teach them to give freely of themselves, so that they may discover the happiness, the fulfilment, and the inexpressible rewards that fatherhood brings. Lord God, our Father, reach out in love. Give them wisdom, patience, and dedication, and grant them strength to persevere when children bring tears as well as laughter, anxiety as well as hope, pain as well as pleasure. Lord God, our Father, reach out in love. Reach out, we pray, to all fathers in such circumstances, those who question their ability to cope or who fear they have failed, those striving to offer support or who feel they have nothing left to give. Lord God, our Father, reach out in love. And finally, hear our prayers for children who on this Father's Day feel pain instead of joy, those whose fathers have died, those orphaned as children, those who have been mistreated, rejected, abused, and those from broken homes and barely see or know their fathers. Lord God, our Father, reach out in love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Julie. Our final hymn this morning is taken from Mission Praise, 664, The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free.
Thank you.
May the Father's hand keep us from stumbling. The footprints of Jesus give us confidence to follow. And the fire of the Spirit keep us warm and safe in our walk with God this day. May the love of Jesus Christ bring us wholeness. The grace of God the Father grant us peace. The breath of Holy Spirit instill passion. And the unity between them give us strength for this day and every day. Amen.